Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dave Wonstead is going to join us, and Tony Wise is too.
Tony Wise is watching the Yankees and rooting for the Yankees. I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt.
Tony, tell the people what you said to Spiegs when he told you where he grew up.
He said, I grew up in Jersey. I said, well, that makes no sense.
Tony, if indeed it were even available, could you incorporate a left tackle?
No.
Asked and answered.
Eric Williams from Central State. You know, he was blocking guys this high, okay? Mm. But he tried to murder him. And that's what stood out. And I was big into that. Guys trying to murder guys. So I said on the report, I said
not, not literally, to be clear.
Right. To all the listeners.
He means it in football terms.
Yes.
We're with you, coach.
Thank you.
Thing.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Nobody has my email, so we're okay with that.
So 6 years here and six different quarterbacks starting. How's that sound?
Not good, buddy.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Not good at all. What else you want to know? Should have been a wishbone coach. Now I won't have to worry about that.
Tony, when you come back, we need to talk about a television show called Tulsa King with Sylvester
Stallone.
You've watched it?
Of course I do.
I'm watching Chicago Fire last night. We get home from dinner, and I said, do you like this? And he says, I don't watch TV. He says, I don't watch anything except sports and movies.
He's into broadcast TV.
Well, I like Chicago. I was in Chicago Fire. I watch it. I'm loyal.
Gentlemen, this was a delight. We truly appreciate you guys' time.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Got quite a television network developing. That's Montez airs in the evening. And, of course, it's already in syndication. Tanny, what time do you figure the Tony Wise and Dave Wonstead show airs? Does it go opposite Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos in the morning? I'm not sure exactly.
No, we need that one to come on right after That's Montez. That one's going to need a little bump going in ahead of the premiere. What do we call that one? What's that show called? Is that Hold the Line with the two line guys? You know, what do we call that?
That's possible. Yeah, Hold the Line with Dave Wonstead and Tony Wise. I like it. Swanee was a tackle at Pitt way back in the day.
I feel like we've got to do something with Wise. Like, it's
yes. Words from the Wise.
It was there, right there for me. Yeah, I like it.
Words from the Wise.
The funniest part to us back here is Swanee, a man in his 70s, taking a shot at Tony for being a broadcast TV guy. He doesn't stream, guys. Tony watches cable.
Hey, man. You got to take your shots where you can, as you both get older.
It's some level of him being in the future. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Dave's a great texter. Dave Wonstead's a great texter. You know, this is how you measure you know, with-itness
as
people age.
He's a wonderful texter.
I also found out recently that he watches Instagram stories with Jan at night sometimes.
He's like, what's this?
Jan, what's going on the stories? Put your stories back up there.
Yeah, I like it.
Word to the Wise is pretty good.
Uh-huh.
We got
word from the Wise.
We got to do something to that with that.
Mm.
Okay, because we got to do something that also allows for Dave to be in the title, because Dave's probably the star.
Well, I was just gonna say it's Tony probably deserves his own show called Wise Guys, where you follow him along coaching aspiring offensive linemen.
And him
this
going
week, I'm going to see Mark Stepnoski.
Or him going to have coffee with Olin.
Yeah.
Coffee with Olin Krutz today. Absolutely. Every sack is a specific occurrence.
Yeah, we're double dating with Chris Fowlerl.
In my mind, I have Tony as Wilson. As the neighbor next door, and then we give him a spinoff.
Sure, going to need a lower fence for Tony.
For sure, But we get then he gets this spinoff called Word to the Wise. But we got to figure out a name for the show with Dave and Tony.
Okay, less work. Why don't we just make Tony the next Golden Bachelor?
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Tony's a single guy.
I really like hockey. I like watching movies. And I like a beautiful woman.
His breakdowns of the contestants would be must-watch television.
I feel like you're just here for the zip line.
Would you accept this rose?
I think most people would.
I think that would be pretty great.
I would accept a rose from Tony to hang out. You know, let's go.
Why not?
Let's go talk football for a while.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat or finds your lost remote.
Dave Wanstead was terrific yesterday talking about Caleb Williams. In between, I guess it was in the commercial breaks of Words to the Wise, Words from the Wise yesterday. But Wani, this was memorable. Wani talking about Caleb Williams. And then I saw some stats today, Lawrence, that as you teased, we need to discuss here on the air. But here's Dave Wanstead on Caleb Williams' development at this point.
He's so far ahead. I was on a show with Colin Cowherd this week, you know, and we were talking about that. He says, where's this kid? I says, the guy is years ahead of any rookie that I've been around as far as football intelligence. He gets it.
I love to hear that.
To say in the post game one time, I knew I didn't really, they said, well, you didn't have any big plays. His longest pass play, I think, was the running back on a screen a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, longest pass to the receiver was the Romo Dunze, 11 yards. And someone asked him about it, and he says, well, I knew I didn't have to force anything because my defense was playing so good, and my punter, the punter had kicked two punts, Tony, 65
plus yards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a kid from Iowa. He's crazy good. Best ever. And he said, so I knew I didn't have to force anything down the field. I mean, that's something that Tom Brady says.
So, as Dave Wanstead talking about the development of Caleb Williams, that was compelling stuff.
It was great, and it all kind of was an extension of him talking about the touchdown pass to Kmet and all the things that he saw inside that play that makes him think that we're seeing an elevated quarterback right now.
So, Kurt Warner was talking about the eyes being the window to the quarterback's soul, and we've all noticed when Caleb is going through his progressions, when his eyes are moving around the field, left to right, sometimes back left or back to the middle, and not just simply looking at his first read and throwing. I saw these numbers bandied about this morning. Our former teammate Clay Harbor, who's now over at CHSN.
Shout out to Clay. We should get Clay in here.
Clay talking about quarterbacks who are least likely to throw to their first read. Okay?
Okay.
So that caught my eye. And then I also found to go with it quarterbacks who are most likely to throw to their first read. And because the whole chart is out there. I'm looking at the whole chart right here. Quarterbacks on their first reads, how often the quarterbacks throw to that first read, and how what the EPA is.
So I'm guessing that the guys that are throwing to their first reads are mostly the young guys and maybe some vets who are trying to hang on a little bit.
So number one, quarterback who throws to his first read the most.
Can I guess?
See it, throw it. It's a vet who's trying desperately to hold on.
Is it Andy Dalton?
No, he's number three. It's Daniel Jones.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Number one who throws to his first read the most is Daniel Jones. Number four, I'm going to skip to four because three is Dalton. Four is Will Levis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Number five is Jaden Daniels.
That makes a lot of sense, too, because they have incorporated his offense, see it, throw it, the air yards. You look at what he's doing in that offense, kind of going a little bit horizontal, letting his guys make plays for him, and it's working really, really well.
It is working.
Does Will Levis know that he has more than one wide receiver?
That's a great question.
And also, if you're Daniel Jones getting $82 million guaranteed, would you even still try to hold on? I would have let go by now.
Might as well just let it go.
I would take my $82 and walked away.
I'm not walking away. Y'all going to have to ask me to leave if I'm him.
Number two on this list is a former number one overall pick who you've questioned earlier in the year, Lawrence. Like, what happened to him? Did he break?
Trevor Lawrence
is number two on this list of throwing to his first read the most. Isn't that crazy? So that's not an impressive group. Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Andy Dalton, Will Levis. Jaden Daniels is impressive because he's doing great on those plays, but he's throwing to his first read. Here are the five quarterbacks who are least likely to throw to their first read.
Okay.
These are the quarterbacks who are looking through their progressions and choosing at least two or three or four. Number one is Josh Allen.
Okay.
Josh Allen.
That surprises me a little bit, but he's getting better.
And he is. Remember Mike Martz, when we challenged him on Josh Allen, he said, oh, he's an anticipatory thrower. What are you talking about?
Whoa.
But he lost Stephon Diggs and he lost Gabe Davis.
Yeah, so he's looking around. But Tanny, that's exactly the moment when Mike Martz said, whoa, because we were trying to put Josh Allen in the Justin Fields category. And he said, no, because Josh Allen can play from the pocket, according to Mike Martz. Anyway, so he's number one. Patrick Mahomes is number two.
That makes sense.
Lamar Jackson is number three.
We need to talk more about Lamar in a minute.
Might not be getting enough credit these days as a guy who keeps getting better and knows what the hell he's doing. Number four is Justin Herbert.
Okay.
And number five is Caleb Williams.
That should be exciting for every Bears fan to hear that. Go through that list again and say what the list is.
The list is quarterbacks who are the least likely to throw on their first read. These are guys who aren't just taking the first option. They're comfortable enough to look around. Number one is Josh Allen. Number two is Patrick Mahomes. Number three is Lamar Jackson. Number four is Justin Herbert. And number five is Caleb Williams.
That guy Williams.
Yeah, dude, that is remarkably good company for Caleb to be in through six games.
Geno Smith not on high on that list?
I can look. Geno's up there. Let me see. No, he's not, actually. Geno is much closer to Jaden Daniels on the list.
Okay.
So I'll give you more who are on that side of it. Daniel Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Andy Dalton, Will Levis, Jaden Daniels, Anthony Richardson is over there. Deshaun Watson is over there.
Where does Jordan Love fall?
Jordan Love.
He's got a lot of great options.
I hope he falls off.
Let me guess. He's close to Aaron Rodgers on that list.
Jordan Love is, maybe he doesn't have enough to qualify because he was hurt. Because Jordan Love is right there with Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, minimum 75 attempts. So Jordan Love is right there with Mahomes and Caleb, to your point.
It's pretty good.
Yep. Pretty damn good. Brock Purdy also towards the high end. Kirk Cousins towards the high end. Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, all towards the high end.
It's great to have.
That's
that.
That's an awesome stat.
Wait, where's Fields at?
Fields is right in the middle of the pack. Right.
That's actually great for him.
That is great for him.
Those are all really good quarterbacks. Like, when's the last time you had a Bears quarterback grouped in another cluster of quarterbacks like that?
This is a different kind of thing, man, and I think people are realizing it. But stuff like this helps you realize what kind of cerebral stuff is happening from the quarterback perspective, and how it will raise all boats.
I just love it because the thing that Kurt said about that is that, and for those of you who can see me on Twitch, I'll mimic it. But what you don't want to see is a guy going side to side as he's trying to figure it out, because it means he doesn't know where he's looking. Where as you see a quarterback that's kind of methodically kind of looking and going, no, open, and throwing it.
Right. And you're going slowly from one side to the other, because that's the way these things are mapped out, that you can actually look that. So because they don't want you to have to swing your head violently around, they want you to slowly be able to go through it.
And the fact that after the first couple of weeks, when things didn't look great, that Caleb is doing this effectively, I think is super encouraging.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've thought of the no huddle simplification that's going on for Caleb, akin to the no-huddle simplification that's going on for Jaden Daniels. But this sheds some light into at least their process, that even if the no-huddle is simplifying things and that some of the calls might be slightly simplified, Caleb is still looking through his options more than Jaden is.
And I think that that's where it's a nuanced conversation when you're talking about the development of these two quarterbacks, is that you're saying eventually that ideally – you're going to ask for more from Caleb. But if they end up in the same place, it might be because of what Jaden Daniels is doing to get comfortable.
For instance, that's a great point. I'd love to know what Lamar's numbers were when he was younger. Because Lamar, there were some things simplified for Lamar and take advantage of his legs the way they are with Jaden and all of that. But Lamar just
maybe
keeps...
Maybe they didn't have to be.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't have to be, but they were. Or maybe it helped him. You know, it seems to have helped him. Lamar's trajectory has been pretty damn good.
Well, he's a two-time MVP, right? And now it's just a matter of what happens to him in January. That's the only thing we're judging Lamar Jackson on at this point, is what happens in January, because he's done the regular season thing. Now it's, can you win the big playoff game specifically against Patrick Mahomes? But can you take that next step? You've been a number one seed. Now let's see if you can win that game when that guy's staring back at you. Can you match him, and can you do what you need to do?
You heard some stuff that speaks to that part of it. So as we dream of Caleb, you've got some stuff on Lamar in that way.
Yeah, Logan Paulson, who played for Washington, who played for Baltimore for a while, tight end.
Wasn't he a Bear for a minute?
I think he was.
His name is Logan Paulson.
He was talking about the evolution of Lamar. And I got to tell you, this was really heartening to me, because this is the first time where I've heard Lamar talked about in this way, where the emphasis isn't on how special and athletic he is. The actual quarterback process, I loved hearing Lamar being spoken about in these terms.
The other thing that really stuck out to me is being on the sideline, and I don't know if I would have noticed if I was watching the TV copy, is the amount of communication Lamar does at the line of scrimmage, getting into right plays, into the correct plays, correct runs, correct protections. I think the touchdown to Mark Andrews is a great example. Like, they check to, you know, whether it's cover six, cover two, cover four, they check to a route combination where you're attacking the middle of the field because it's split safety with a guy who's really good at it, Mark Andrews. He checked to that. He checked to the Derrick Henry, you know, like the first time they ran the sweep to the left. He checked to that play. A couple of the play action passes, he looks out, he sees it's man coverage. He checks to those plays. And it was like a cheat code. It was really like his ability to identify the coverages. And that's something Fletch and I talked about, you know, after the game, is just, you know, Joe Witt Jr., like, could he have done more potentially to disguise some of the coverages and, like, make that a little bit harder? But I don't know if anybody thought, I know I didn't think it, that, like, he had that kind of ability at the line of scrimmage, you know, very similar to Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, to just get you into the right look consistently. That was super impressive. And even the screen, like, they checked to the screen. Like, a lot of the big plays, explosive plays in this game came from his communication and mastery of that offense. So it's one thing to kind of scheme up a defensive look, but then and it's one thing for the defensive coordinator to call something, but when the guy on the field who's playing the play can say, oh no, like, this is a better play, this is the right look, and the coordinator's ability, offensive coordinator Todd Monken, to get him to give him that flexibility, I think that really showed up big time for me at critical moments, like especially on those long drives. It's like you could tell they obviously had a run called. He gets up the line of scrimmage, he checks, and maybe the play call is a run check to a pass. You'd have to ask someone over there in Baltimore about that. But I just thought those plays were backbreaking, because it took a group that was already a little bit outmanned, and then whatever advantage they had versus the run, whatever advantage they had against the pass, he would just check out of it and get you into something that was better. And I think that was something that, again, was really impressive from a Baltimore standpoint, and just made it that much harder for Joe Witt Jr. and made it that much harder for the defense as a whole to win those downs.
Man, that's such good stuff. I feel like these 7-8 years now, as we've gone through Mitch and Justin and now Caleb and stuff like this, we've had an opportunity to get so much smarter about quarterback play. It's crazy. You realize how a guy can have a game on a string like that, like Lamar does now.
I mean, anytime that you start talking about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, as far as what they do to communicate what they see, if you can ever be mentioned in the same sentence with those two guys, you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we saw Brady do this in Tampa, where he would go up to the line of scrimmage and just read it and be like, okay, let's do this instead. And then they would... And for the way Logan describes that is backbreaking for a defense, because you're like, we had it.
Yeah.
And we can match up. It's like, we got it.
And the quarterback goes, no, you don't. Watch this.
Oh, man.
And changes it up. And we have seen some moments where we're seeing Caleb do that too. And I don't know if it's to that level yet.
I don't think so.
And we can ask Logan about that if we get a chance to talk to him next week. But I just love hearing that because it elevates the conversation about Lamar. People get stuck on what he does as a runner, which I understand because he's really special. He's probably the best that's ever done it from that standpoint. So it's easy to go, whoa, look at, well, you got a guy like that and he's a pretty good, but when you go back and look at what he was at Louisville, that stuff that Logan is talking about, Lamar was doing that.
So you think Greg Roman didn't have to do some of the stuff he did?
No, I think that
because I did think he maximized some possibilities there.
I think that we should look at, honestly, like I think it connects the way that we should be looking at Jaden Daniels.
Sure.
And we go, okay, here's comfort first.
Yeah.
You comfortable? Are you not afraid now? Like you seen that you can compete at this level, cool. Now we can throw more stuff at you.
Yeah, it's what Nagy didn't do with Justin.
Absolutely. Or maybe you mature out of the Greg Roman stuff and you go, that was cool, but you know I can also do this. And when you watch Lamar specifically, like the way that he's able to just kind of, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Vic. Even though it's left hand versus right hand, the way that he can flick a ball 45, 50 yards.
From Lamar.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that combined with the running is why it feels so much like Vic, because it's the power and accuracy of the arm.
And then if you can add this in, like now we're talking about build a quarterback type stuff. Like if he actually does have the processing ability of Peyton Manning with the what he can do with his legs,
yeah.
God help us all.
Hey, man, I'm old enough to remember when Randall Cunningham showed you eventually, once Brian Billick trusted him to do it, that he could do some of this stuff in Minnesota.
Yep.
After like a decade of only being asked to be the running Randall Cunningham. And I don't know whether he'd be a great guy to talk to. I don't know whether that was him maturing or finally being given a chance to do it. Or a little mix of both.
I would imagine, because in those days it was a lot harder for, especially like we can say mobile, but especially black quarterbacks back then, it was hard to get out of the idea of, well, super athlete, maybe not the best general.
Mm-hmm.
So I like seeing that Lamar is being taken seriously as a field general.
It's good stuff. He's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is Spiegel and Holmes here on 670 The Score.
When we come back, we ran across some Derrick Rose stuff that we just didn't have time to do right after the retirement because all the Bear stuff. There's some stuff I want to ask you that I ran across to add to what we already had that I think is worth discussing when we discuss Derrick Rose overall.
And at 5:40, we'll end the show with some fun. Shane is in charge of fun today. So that'll be today at 5:40 on The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
I know a lot of people get mad when they see me sit out or whatever, but I think a lot of people don't understand that I'm not taking myself out right now. I mean, when I sit out, that is not because of like this year. I'm thinking about long term. I'm thinking about after I'm done with basketball, having graduations to go to, having meetings to go to. I don't want to be in my meetings all sore or be at my son's graduation all sore just because of something I did in the past. So just learning and being smart.
Man, I forgot about the voice crack in that legendary sound clip from a long time ago in Derrick Rose's youth as an NBA player.
Well, now we're here. Now we are at that point with Derrick Rose because he's retired now and his son is playing ball now. And when he retired, we talked about it a lot. Then there was all sorts of other stuff that we needed to do. So we kind of lost the conversation about D. Rose.
Yeah, and there's been like a bunch of different audio of different things that have like caught our eyes and caught Tanny's ears, and we've been talking about getting to some of them.
So this thing I think you'll find interesting because you're the parent on this show. You're a dad raising a son.
It's true.
On this show. So I think that you'll appreciate this because this is those two clips. I'm glad that Tanny found the first one. These two clips are very much connected. This is him on Jeff Teague's podcast talking about how he's viewing retirement.
Bruh, I've been thinking about it for a while, bruh. Give me your all to your kid. So with PJ, I had to talk to him a little bit different. So before I even talked to everybody, we in the room, it's me and him just talking. And before then, I'm thinking the whole time, like, damn, when am I going to have this conversation with him, right? So we talking, and he bring up Kanye's name. And we was just in the room talking about Melo. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, it's time. I'm like, come downstairs. He come downstairs. I'm like, bro, how you think he got better? He was like, he working out with a trainer. I'm like, who else in the gym? His dad. Like, his dad, huh? Like, his dad present. I'm like, you think Melo don't got nothing to do with that? He was like, yeah. But after I kept talking, at first when I told him, of course, devastated, hurt. But after I kept talking to him, he was excited because he seen like, man, now I get this individual time with my dad. And like my son, he know exactly where he's at right now. Like this moment, he knows exactly where he's at. So for me to tell him that and for him to be like sad at first, then be excited. And since that day, it's been nothing but love.
So that's Derrick Rose talking about his own son.
Who's 12. PJ, I think, is 12.
And he's referring to Kyan Anthony, mm-hmm. who's Carmelo Anthony's son. And Kyan is 17.
He's pretty spicy, that kid.
Yeah. K-I-Y.
Well, his mom is low.
That deserved a rim shot.
It did. Lala.
That's
Lala.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks, Chuck.
His mom is Lala.
What?
And Kyan's really good. He's like a much better NBA prospect than, say, Bronny James, for that matter.
Correct.
Yeah, and so that's Derek pointing out that Kyan's got his dad around, which is probably helpful.
Yeah, you would think, because Carmelo Anthony is one of the greatest offensive players that's ever lived.
So it's just a question of whether your kid is actually going to listen to you when you're good at certain things. Like my kid does not really want to take my music expertise too much.
Let's go yet on that.
Yeah, well, it's right, because some of it does get to him and some of it gets through to him. I love his piano teacher, and I love watching the piano teacher and him have a great relationship, and I hang around and have some osmosis through that.
And then eventually it could turn out that he really understands, and then he can come to you with maybe more complicated music stuff than what he's learning right now.
Yeah, and then and he doesn't get my help when he does categories at school with his classmates at all.
Good.
You know, he just does that on his own.
Good.
So, I mean, I'm right here. I could help you with that,
the king
son.
Of categories.
Yeah. His parody songs are terrible. Sorry, go ahead.
I just like that in those two cuts, you have the maturation of Derrick Rose.
Yeah, man.
Like, it's really amazing that this is the way that he's viewing all of this. I also just really like that he's so much more comfortable and so much more open. And hearing some of these stories and hearing him talking about what that MVP season was like for him and how it wasn't maybe as much fun for him as it probably should have been.
Yeah, for sure.
And Joakim Noah, he talked about it too. Like he talked about this on the Smoke podcast about us getting a chance now to see Derrick for who he actually is.
It was just a real blessing to be around Pooh, you know.
What do you call him?
Pooh.
Pooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's, as special as they come in terms of, you know, a real introvert at heart, somebody who could score 30 on you, but just was scared of the post-game interview. He just didn't want no part of the media. You know, he just was always true to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, somebody who had an unbelievable talent, but just stayed real throughout. And I think, I wouldn't even, you know, when you're a second year player, he came in the year after, before, I wouldn't call him my rook. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to, you know, give out all the gear. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to do none of that.
He was different.
He was that nice. I think our relationship grew. You know, obviously, you know, you want to win a championship so bad, but our relationship really grew smoking herb after he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he got hurt, and I think that, you know, he was at the height of his thing, just, you know, signed a huge deal with the Bulls, signed a huge deal with Adidas, but, you know, had to sit out that year. And I think it was a real lonely time for him. Obviously, you know, I want to give a big shout out to his friends, his brothers, who, you know, he keeps the same people from the beginning.
Tight circle.
You know, real tight circle. But yeah, our relationship really grew on the road. He needs to be comfortable.
Okay.
You know, he's a real introvert at heart, you know, so quiet. But I remember our rookie year, like Brandon Jennings scored 55. So guys on the plane are talking about, yo, Brandon Jennings got 55. He might get rookie of the year. And Pooh's not saying. And like 2 years later, you know, we're having one of those smoke sessions. And he's like, yo, I remember when guys were talking about Brandon Jennings getting the rookie of the year. I'm not going to lie. That put that fire in me.
Did it.
And he didn't say a word the whole time.
Right.
That's the kind of guy he is. Like even my when I ended up retiring with the Bulls, you know, the Bulls were, they brought in the guys, but they were giving me like that cheap liquor for the party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pooh put the money down right away for me. You know, he'll do like that, but just not say nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't want credit for anything, mm-hmm. but just, you know, class act. I think, you know, what he represented for that city. Every time we laced him up, mm-hmm. we felt like we had a chance.
Man.
A couple of observations from that.
Brought in the guys, but the cheap liquor. Come on, Bulls.
And who would have been in charge of that? This is kind of a full circle moment for today's show, isn't it? It's
fairly Reinsdorfian.
Yes, which is shocking. It's shocking because that's one of those things that
they usually take care of.
Right. You would not expect a Reinsdorf-led organization to do something like that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't. Yeah. Like, because all the things you hear is like first class, like all of this stuff. The other part that struck me as weird is like, how did Matt Barnes not know his nickname was Pooh? Like those guys are contemporaries. Like that's not.
Maybe he inhaled every single time it was said.
That's a good point.
Matt Barnes.
But there you have it.
I love the honesty and the openness of like learning that Derek, once he got hurt, he would sit down and do some of the smoke sessions with Joe.
Yeah, why not? Well, that's the other thing that I think is cool is that we are in a space now
where you can talk about
especially
it.
On that show.
Yeah, well, for sure. But also just in terms of like pain-killing and depression and such, because Derek was going through it.
And that might have been better for him than almost any alternative that the NBA could have offered him while he was going through this.
Yeah, likely. So that's compelling stuff, and for Derek to hold on to the stuff. I'm having flashbacks to when I talked to a Bulls staffer, had to be 2011, after my partner at the time had written a piece in the newspaper about Derek desperately needing media training and being bad at talking and stuff like that. And a Bulls staffer had reached out to me and said, do you have any idea how hard it is for this kid to put himself out there? And stuff like this then does not help, you know? And it's just, it's understandable. I didn't fault the writer necessarily, because it's definitely how it came off. And look at us now. Caleb Williams has had a tremendous amount of media training. Still says a lot, but Caleb, the way that he presents things, the way that he talks about things, the carefulness with which, the courage to do it, obviously very different upbringings and different circumstances, but it does matter, and you can be better at it.
I think that a lot of people, myself included, got frustrated with a lot of those conversations. Because if you truly understand kind of where Derek is from and what he had to go through to get to where he was, then it felt like people were piling on him for stuff that, and now, like, that's the beauty of it for me, is seeing where you're at 15 years later. And you hear him talk, and you hear him be more comfortable with who he is and what he wants to share. And you see the growth of a person. Because the other part of it is, and I have a better perspective on this now through teaching, I know what 20-year-olds are like. And strangely enough, if you put a microphone in front of a bunch of them, they're going to struggle, especially when you then assign like blame or praise on what it is that they're doing. For them to have to navigate that is a difficult thing. I do think a lot of these college programs have gotten better at figuring out how to help prepare the players to get to the next level in that regard, but it's still difficult. And there were times where I felt like people weren't being fair, and you just have to keep that in mind. But I think that sports conversation speaks is actually in a better place now because of some of this.
I think that is true. We have an interesting thing happening on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, there's a gaggle of people that are just over there with Rob Hart.
Yep. Just
I am not okay.
Danny's not okay right now.
Yeah, because he's having flashbacks of being a dad and being at every party that he's been given. And there's like 20 people in that room.
Yeah, and a lot of them are young girls. Tanny, buy cookies. Or I don't know what's happening in there, but
I saw some vests. It seems like there might be some Girl Scouts in there, some sort of scout thing. But yeah, if they would like to sell cookies, I would like to buy them.
Absolutely. What I don't see is Shane Reardon, which is troubling. Oh my God, listen to that.
Yeah.
Turn that up again. There's the control room. Let people know what it sounds like.
See, now they're being quiet. Yeah. That's fine.
That's okay.
Well, good luck, Tanny. We should take a break.
Shane Reardon's in charge of fun, and we need him back.
Well, he's doing a great job of being in charge of fun right now.
Clearly.
Yeah, ready? With the kids.
That's a perfect way to take it to your last segment of this show on a Friday on The Score.
I am not okay.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
Shane is fired up.
The impresario in charge of fun on this show is Shane Reardon. What do you got, sir?
Okay, all right. So we're going to start with the suggestions for Wani's TV show name.
Okay, right?
We got a really good one.
Okay,
we got a really good few from texters. Show name suggestions. Wani knows best.
Oh, he does.
Absolutely, Dave. That's my favorite. That's the favorite in the clubhouse.
Absolutely, whoa. Dave.
And that's my Wani.
Did anyone try Wani and Wise?
Yeah, I mean, there's like Wani's Wise Words. Yeah. I think that's a little too wordy. The alliteration's a little bit too strong. But Speaks came in here in a break, and he said he wants me to make fun of our weekend plans for the fun. And Lawrence, to be clear, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to make fun of your weekend plans. I don't know what they are. But let's roll through our weekend plans because I think people like to know what we're doing. They like to be a part of our lives.
I'm solo. I'm solo starting tomorrow morning. The wife and her sister and her mother are flying to Nashville to go see Post Malone do his country album.
You stupid loner. we're not doing that. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna do some stuff tomorrow. I'm gonna run some errands. I'm gonna smoke a cigar and listen to a baseball game tomorrow night on my balcony.
You and Tom?
Very excited about that.
Tom's out of town.
Me and Tom. Me and Tom will be hanging out tomorrow night. Absolutely. As I have a cigar.
What's your go-to cigar lately?
It is a Monte Cristo.
White Label?
That's a good question. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good one.
And then on Sunday, Tributosaurus is in Evanston doing Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, this is why he asked.
At 4:30.
I would never make fun of that.
At Evanston's.
No, not making fun of it, but so you get the plug out there.
No, but Evanston's Fall Fest outside Sunday afternoon at 4:30. Very much looking forward to singing. It's been
what
a
do we got,
time.
Lawrence?
Well, it's bye week, so I traditionally go out of town.
Pumpkin patch.
On bye. No pumpkin patch for me. I had initially planned on going to New Orleans.
Ooh.
But then I was like, why can't I find a room? Like, the Saints played on Thursday, so I'm like, what's going on?
Another hurricane?
Taylor.
Oh, Tay-Tay.
I thought she was in Miami this weekend.
I think she's in New Orleans. I know I couldn't find a room down there, so I'm going to Louisville instead.
You're going solo to Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. Going to Louisville. Love Louisville.
Will you do the Bourbon Trail?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not going to be there for a long time, but the Slugger Factory is definitely on the list. The Muhammad Ali Museum is on the list.
Wow, that's cool.
There's an art festival down by the river.
Love that.
That I'm kind of looking forward to as well. A good time will be had, and then I'll be back Sunday watching football and ready for our show Monday.
Driving, flying?
Flying.
Nice.
45 minutes. Let's go.
Tough to make fun of that.
45 minutes. No, I can't make fun.
Sounds pretty good.
Louisville.
Shane, what are you doing? We'll make fun of that. We'll take care of it.
I'm going to the Bulls preseason game by myself tonight.
Idiot.
Yeah, I am.
Bonehead.
My girlfriend won't go.
What?
Like, she said, no, I'm good. Sorry. All right, I'll go for the first half and hang out for a second.
Wow, good for you.
Walk home.
Enjoy. Then what's tomorrow?
Working my bar job tomorrow.
Oh.
And then just, come by Highline tomorrow. I'll be working at Highline tomorrow and over by the Merch Mart. Tanny, what do you got?
Probably get the solo stove going tonight in the yard, maybe put the baseball game on, have a couple adult beverages with the wife, and that'll be that, I think.
What are you doing tomorrow night? Maybe I should come smoke my cigar at your place.
I've got to return some videotapes. I won't be
around. always works well.
We got a lot of bonding time coming up, all right? Let's not go into two-minute bonding offense here,
It's understood. Understood. Let's save that discomfort when we actually have to be together.
Candy's going to rent a bunch of videotapes and library books before we have to go to Vegas.
I don't partake in the pumpkin patch.
Olin does not.
No, he does not.
But he wants some stickers of himself. I love that Olin wants that.
And we should get that for him.
I agree.
I think he will enjoy it, and he will hand them out like business cards, and it'll be great. This has been a great week, and today has been a great show. Thanks to our visitors that came over, too, from Rob Hart, just bringing a gaggle of people in here, which was great. It was really wonderful, perfect way to end the week. For Tanny and Shane and Speaks, I'm Lawrence, saying thank you for the support and love that you show this show. We will try to repay that on Monday at 2 o'clock. Have a great weekend, you knuckleheads. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.